God actually went ahead of us in arranging this meeting. We're all aware what we were supposed to have been doing today as a nation, but that had to be deferred. And I believe that God knows you are here, and He has something specific, definite for you in your journey with Him and in your role in the mission of His kingdom. I want to once again appreciate Venerable Professor Sam Mike, the entire chaplain and leadership of the Chapel of His Resurrection. I want to also appreciate all the clergy around. Yesterday we were with the Archbishop, and he gave approval that other clergy be informed, and I've been seeing a few such faces. I want to warmly welcome you, sirs, in Jesus' name. It's good to see lots of children in our midst, and I wish I'm not the one talking so that I can go and engage them. But there is something that I came with. It's Kids World Prayer Map. It's a world prayer map for kids. And I have requested, Bro God, that he should liaise with the chaplain in charge to see if we can get all of the kids present to have a copy of this. It's kids friendly. It's packaged in a way that it can communicate to children. So children, you're welcome. How are you? Can you wave to me like this? Children, can you wave to me? God bless you. God bless you. Jesus was a child. Jesus was a child. La, 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 la. Jesus was a child. La, la, la. And now is the Savior of the world. Person that is the Savior of the world today was once a child. Oftentimes we see a child in the child. We don't see what is in the child. It's important that we see the leader in the child. It's important that we see beyond their state today what great future God has for them, and to nurture them, to guide them into that glorious future. Do we have children workers, Sunday school teachers around? Are we there? Thank you so very much. God bless you. It's good to see you. They are doing a very important work. The Lord continue to encourage you. And they need more hands. I hope that by the end of this morning session, we have more people volunteer to join them. Can I hear an amen? Praise the Lord. I also came along with the newsletter of NEMA. We call it NEMA Today. You will know how that we get across to you. And NEMA also publishes a quarterly prayer alert. We call it Nigeria Missions Prayer Alert. They are all for free distribution, and came with some copies exclusively meant for this morning session. We are the kind of people that can put it to profitable use, especially the leadership team. So you will get to know how to get that. I also came along with the World prayer map. Part of what we're doing is how to strengthen your involvement as a global Christian, a world Christian, not a worldly Christian, but a world Christian, a global Christian. Christian that is local in existence, but also but global in influence and impact. One of the ways by which you can be global in your impact from your local base is through the weapon of prayer. This pamphlet positions you to be able to pray for the world within every month. We have information on every country of the world that can guide a prayer engagement. We have some copies, and you will get also to know how you will benefit from that. Hallelujah. Making disciples of all nations. Let's bow our head to pray. You are the Lord. That is your name. Your glory you will not share with any man. We bow in worship to your majesty. Hallowed be your name. Thank you for this privilege to wait on your word to come aside unto you to engage with your heart. Father God, I ask that you will unveil your heart to each and every one of us present at this leadership session. Jehovah God, I ask that you will make eternal deposit in each and every life. I ask that you will pass this way and leave behind a blessing. Jehovah God, I commend all your servants present here to you. I ask that, Father God, you will reach out to each and every one by the power of your word. You will strengthen and equip. You will revive. You will rekindle. You will reposition them for greater fruitfulness in the task of your kingdom. Rend your heavens again upon this meeting and cause an outpouring of your grace, power, and glory. Have your way, mighty Father. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's turn again to Matthew chapter 28 and read. Can somebody read? Let me say that today we're going to have interactive session. As a follow-up to my sharing, you'll be allowed to ask questions and be clarified. I'm not going to do all the talking. Thanks be to God that we have several, you know, of God's servants, men and women in the house. And by the grace of God, I believe that God, by His Spirit, will bring light to every issue that we may have on account of the sharing. Amen. Matthew 28 from verse number 18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Hallelujah. the commission to make disciples of all nations was handed over to disciples. It was handed over to disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. Men and women of conviction. Men and women of abandoned devotion to Christ. Men and women who have sworn allegiance to the Lamb. One of the times Jesus asked them, say, will you also go? Where shall we go? He said, you alone have the words of eternal life. It was the company of such men that the Great Commission, the mandate to make disciples of all nations, was handed over to. And they did amazing work. Earlier on, they got it wrong and stayed in Jerusalem. Acts 1:8 gave a clear direction as to how they should go. He said, you will receive power after the Holy Ghost comes upon you, and you will be witnesses of me in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. But he stayed back in Jerusalem until Acts 8:1. Can somebody read Acts 8:1? So Acts 8:1 came to challenge to make Acts 1:8 to begin to work out. Yes, sir.
On that day, a great persecution broke out against the church at Jerusalem, and all except the apostles were scattered throughout Judea and Samaria.
Hallelujah. It took persecution to get the early apostles to follow the clear directive of Jesus Christ to them as far as making disciples of all nations was concerned. Jesus clearly gave them how that should work out. But they were Jerusalem bound until a great persecution broke out. And they were scattered to Judea, to Samaria. That was how the advance of the gospel to the ends of the earth came. Now, I want to let you know also that in Acts chapter 19, verse 10, can somebody read that? Acts chapter 19.
Acts 19, verse 10.
Thank you.
This went on for 2 years, so that all the Jews and Greeks who lived in the province of Asia heard the word of the Lord.
This went on for how many years? And in 2 years, what happened? The then Asian world was saturated. Everybody says all. All people that were in Asia, Greeks and Jews, had the word of the Lord. The mandate to make disciples of all nations was handed over to a crop of men and women that nothing moved them. They did not count their life too dear unto themselves. They were people who gave priority to the call, to the mandate. And finishing the task, fulfilling that mandate, was more important to them than their personal comfort and even safety. When Paul was told that bonds and affliction abound in you, he said in Acts 20:24, none of these things move me. To neither count my life dear unto myself, that I may finish my course with joy and fulfill the ministry that I have received of the Lord to testify the gospel of the grace of God. Hallelujah. I'm trying to make a point, and that point is that the mandate to reach the world can only thrive in the hands of men and women of abandoned devotion to Jesus. World evangelization is the way it is today, based on the quality of discipleship. Based on the quality of the commitment of those in whose hands and care that mandate has been entrusted. How can we explain that in 2,000 years of the gospel, there are still about 6,900 people groups without a culturally relevant church in their culture? Churches are full today, but laborers are few. The current index to measure the effectiveness of a church, it has now shifted from what it used to be to other issues, to other values. Numbers, the kind of luxurious buses that we have, the number of luxurious buses that we have, the size of our cathedrals, our bank accounts, and the rest, the kind of car that our archbishop and bishops are riding, and so on and so forth. A lot has entered into the church to the detriment of the progress of this mandate to reach the world. We're going somewhere today, and I want you to please come with me. The church has largely substituted the mandate to make disciples to perfecting strategies to gather large crowds. It's more about how we can fill a stadium, how to organize prophetic and breakthrough meetings. Those things have their place, but they have largely replaced the mandate of discipleship. When Jesus Christ went about his ministry, his concern was not with getting crowd, his concern was with the people that the crowd will follow. I believe you are here because you are one of the people that the crowd need to follow. The concern of Jesus was to get people whom the crowd will follow. People that will embody the life of Jesus. People whose The governing principles of their lives will be the governing principles of the life of the Savior. People who have imbibed the values of Jesus, who radiates the compassion of Jesus, the love of Jesus, the integrity of Jesus, the power, the authority, the dominion of Jesus. So Jesus was not so much concerned with the program and strategy to reach the crowd as with the people that the crowd will follow. Concern of Jesus was with people. Men were his methods. Amen. So Jesus Christ went about to enlist men and women who will be examples of his life. Examples of his passion. Examples of his values and principles. Because it is such vessels who can carry on the work after him. In all that for us to realize the goals of making disciples of all nations, we need to refocus on people. And I thank God for his leading in the leadership of this church to build in a leadership session for us to talk as leaders. Matthew chapter 4. Let somebody read verses 18 to 20. Yes.
Matthew chapter 4, verse 18. As Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter, and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Come, follow me, Jesus said, and I will make you fishers of men. At once they left their nets and followed him.
Thank you, my sister. What's the name? Chi Kuku. Thank you, Kuku. Jesus Christ went by the lake of Gennesaret. He saw some people casting net into the sea and called them. Come, follow me. I will make you fishers of men. Sing with me. Lord, please make me a fisher of men. A fisher of men. A fisher of men. Lord, please make me a fisher of men as I follow you. The goal of this session is to multiply fishers of men. If we can multiply fishers of men, the mandate to make disciples of all nations will be accomplished. Jesus Christ called them. Say, come follow me. I will make you. Let me say up front that if you have not become something, you cannot make the other person that thing. I want you to hear, and may God give you understanding. You need to become before you can make. But I'll come to that later. Let's just go on. I want you to know, beloved, that the call to be fishers of men is first and foremost a call to follow Jesus. It's first and foremost a discipleship call. It's a come, follow me. I will make you fishers of men. To be a fisher of men, brothers and sisters, means you are committing to following after Jesus committedly, sacrificially, heroically, obediently. The call to be a fisher of men is first and foremost a call to follow Jesus. And the plan of God to restore the lost glory of man as a result of sin. You know that the Bible says all have sinned and did what? Come short of the glory of God. We lost our glory on account of sin. The plan of God to restore the lost glory of man is embodied in the call to discipleship. It is in following Jesus, because in him is the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Discipleship is a call to the fullness of the life of God available to men in Jesus Christ. It's a call to experience. It's a call to pursue. It's a call to engage. It's a call to experiencing the fullness of the life of God available to men in Jesus Christ. And when you step out to pursue Jesus, when you step out to pursue him committedly, then you are positioning yourself for an experience of life that will make you a fisher of men. We are not born to be fishers of men. It takes someone to make us fishers of men. The person who can make us is Jesus Christ. And it takes a yielded life to Jesus. It takes a life that is yielded. A life of abandoned devotion to Jesus. Who is a disciple? A disciple is the person who has made a personal and a public confession of Christ and has willfully submitted to a leader to be taught, trained, mentored with the goal of becoming a leader in the order of that leader in Christ. I'll pick that once more and explain. A disciple is a person, sister, a brother, who has made a personal, and underline that, and a public confession of Christ, and has willfully submitted to a leader. Hello? Has done what? After making a confession, personal and public confession of Christ, he or she submits to a leader. To be taught, to be trained, to be mentored, with the goal of becoming another leader. Amen? in the order of that leader in Christ. It is a voluntary decision to pattern your life after somebody else who is ahead of you in following Christ. And this is important because of some remarks I'm going to make. Because there is a missing link. There's a missing element in this. Let somebody quickly read Luke 6:40. Luke 6:40.
Yes. Luke 6:40. A student is not above his teacher.
Yes, sir.
But everyone who is fully trained will be like his teacher.
Amen. A student is not above his master. But a person who is fully trained will be like who? Like who? That is where the resemblance comes. When I said that submits himself to a leader to be trained, mentored, with the goal of becoming a leader in the order of that leader in Christ. It's a voluntary decision to pattern your life after somebody else who is ahead of you in following Christ. For us to make disciples, disciples will have to be raised by another disciple. It would take an ardent follower of Christ to raise another follower of Christ. Discipleship is about life. Can you say with me, life? It's about life. It's about life that you can feel, that you can touch. It's about life that you can communicate with. God is spirit, isn't it? And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. But in discipleship, you need a flesh and blood. What's your name, my sister? Sister Onye. For instance, Sister Onye is a follower of Christ. But for our discipleship, she needs a flesh and blood. Not Christ is there, and I will bring that element in. But she needs a flesh and blood whom she can feel with. Her kind of experience, struggles, and from whom, who can guide her to overcome as he or she had overcome. It is a transference of life. When Jesus Christ said, go and make disciples of all nations, he was basically saying, go and multiply yourself. Go and transfer your life into some others. That is actually what that thing is saying. But that life is largely missing and not there for many. How do you become a disciple of Jesus Christ? It is through someone who has walked on his or her own life. Hello? It is through what? Who has walked on his or her own life. That there is a gap there in the church. And multitudes are left grouping and not coming to the measure of the faith of Christ. Will you accept to walk on your own life? That is when you mean business in making disciples of all nations. It is a transference of life. What Jesus meant is for us to go and produce after our kind. The challenge we have in the church today is, permit me to say, challenge of undiscipled leaders, undiscipled pastors, undiscipled bishops. People who have not worked on their own life. You know, it is possible when they were going to introduce me. You know, yesterday we were talking and I was making some inquiry from Bro Go about our chaplain in charge. And he told me clearly, "Shay, I know that he doesn't like titles." I said, "I know that I know where he's coming from. And I know his values." When we're going to introduce me, they told you how that I have had leadership responsibility opportunities since my university days. 2 times president of our Christian Union, a zonal president, a national president, and served virtually in every cadre of staff in NIFES, including becoming the national director for 8 years before I moved on. It is very possible to have an identity as the executive secretary of NEMA. That is the identity that I carry. But what is my identity in Christ? It is a different thing. My identity as the national convener for 14 Window Global Initiative, I can begin to mention some of the privileges, the opportunities that I have, does not translate to my identity in Christ. Dear leaders, I would like you to ask yourself, what is your identity in Christ? Bible says the foundation of God stands sure. Having this seal, the Lord knows those who are his. It doesn't matter the title that I wear, that I carry. What matters most is my identity in Christ. Many of us leaders, we have grown with serious character problems that were not addressed, and we have gathered titles alongside with those character problems, and we are now the primate. I'm sorry to use that. Of wherever. And do you know what? At that level, it is assumed that those issues have been taken care of. That is how many continue along the line and do not have the benefit of having their issues addressed in ways that transform them from glory to glory in the resemblance of Christ. The Bible says, as we behold in a mirror the glory of the Lord, we are being transformed by that self-same glory to the resemblance of Christ. It takes a submission. God sent Jesus Christ to show us the Father. And Jesus Christ said, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. Isn't that one of what he said? Beloved, we need to see some leaders who embody Jesus to us as well. Are you following me? And that is what is needed to raise more committed followers of Christ who will in turn disciple the nations. To know the Lord and become like Him requires knowing and relating and submitting to someone, submitting to a flesh and blood. Are you with me? Who is following Christ? It requires your submission to someone who is flesh and blood and who is following Christ. Read 1 John chapter 1, verses 1 to 3. What is the testimony of Apostle John?
1 John chapter 1, verse 1. That which was from the beginning.
That which was from the beginning.
Which we have heard.
Hello. I want you to take note of those words that Apostle John used. Which we have what? Heard. Yes, go ahead.
Which we have seen with our eyes.
They didn't just hear it, oh. Hello. What other thing did they do? They saw with their eyes. Yeah, go ahead.
Which we have looked at.
They also looked at it. It was not a fiction. They heard about it. They saw it with their eyes. They looked at it. And what?
And our hands have touched.
Our hands have done what? Touched. Was life and blood needed someone that their lives can touch? That which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, that which we have touched. Beloved, we need such a relationship to becoming who Jesus wants us to be. Yes, please.
This we proclaim concerning the word of life.
Hallelujah.
The life appeared. We have seen it and testified to it. And we proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and has appeared to us. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ.
Amen. You agree with me that the disciples, they went in and out with Jesus. They slept together. They ate together. Isn't it? That which we have heard. That which we have seen. That which we have looked upon, they examine it. They examine it carefully. They looked upon it. They thought about it. And they handled it. It was real. They felt it. And that is the structure. I'm happy that leaders are here this morning. As we think of a structure for our church, that is why the house cell groups, the Sunday school class, some of the small group meetings, that is why those things are critical to bring us closer into fellowship, into interaction, to enable us to discuss practically. If you are a pastor and you are not concerned about the effectiveness of those small group things, all you want is when you have a 3,000 congregation and you hold the mic as the man of God in town and gyrate forward and backward, and everybody say, hey, and you say, yes. You know, it's okay. Those things, thank God for them, they are outside of the core assignment we are given. That which we have handled. Many of those guys, you don't even come near them. They are too big to be handled. To be felt. How do you do it? When they are coming, everybody moves away, you know, and quickly clears. I was in one of such offices in Lagos. One day, when I was on campus, this was somebody that I invited and came and ministered to us. But levels have changed. When I got to that office, I was going to see him. He was coming down from up. The moment he arrived, the basement, everybody went down. I was embarrassed. I quickly went to one corner and stood. Because every other person was on the floor. What is it? I just didn't understand. And then, when he came, he was just touching their head down on the floor, on his way to the car. The car had parked. Driver was moving. And then he moved straight into... Some people quickly moved and opened the car. And it was as if he could all carry his leg. Our people are doing things. So, when they handle, when they get congregation, anything happens. And that is what the young people think ministry is. That is not the mandate. We are not taught. We are not taught by Christ that way. Please don't be confused by those things. It is not, we didn't learn from Christ that way. They went with Jesus Christ in and out. They told us to go and multiply. If we are going to succeed in multiplying disciples, then we will need to be more real. And people can feel us. Some of us will look as if we don't go to the toilet. We look as if we don't do some things, and it's not true. We're just putting up a face. We need to be real. In Mark chapter 3 from verse 13, because of time, don't bother going to it. My time is gone. Jesus Christ called to him those that he would, and they came to him. Called them to be with him in order that he might send them out. Amen. As leaders, it's important to have people that you submit to. People who are ahead of you in following Christ. People who can hold you accountable. And be a support and inspiration to your journey. Hello? It's important you find such a person who can be a support to you and an inspiration to your journey. There was a time I had a revelation, a fellow leader, and I saw he was doing something, and I came alongside in that revelation, and it was when my handle, let the brother come. Hello. Please come. It was when my handle, hooked his own like this, and we just moved forward. And I was just wondering, what was that? What happened? And it ministered to me that there are certain stages that you need the ministry of someone else in your life to reach certain destination. I shared with him when I woke up. I asked what were the issues and struggles around him. And we started praying together. I didn't know exactly where I would come in, but it was clear to me that I needed to get closer to him in his desire to reach a certain height so that together we can get there. Amen. It's important as leaders to have people that you submit to who are ahead of you in following Christ, who can hold you accountable and be a support and inspiration to your journey. I want to say that teaching is different from discipleship. It is possible to teach what you have read. You can download stuff from the internet and come and teach us about it. Teaching is different from discipleship. You can only reproduce what you are. You cannot reproduce what you are not. You can't give the life that you do not have. And that is where there's difference in teaching. Beloved, the challenge this morning is for you to know that the assignment Jesus gave to us requires for you to work on your life. Hello? Requires for you to grow in the experience of the life of God. I say discipleship is an invitation to the fullness of the life of God available to men in Jesus Christ. And it is that overflowing life that positions you to be an influence, to be able to help someone else overcome his or her own struggles and become. Say with me, become. I pray you understand what that means. To become. You cannot make what you have not become. It's when you become that you can make. We are told to make disciples of all nations, and it is when we have become. Jesus said, come follow me, I will make you. Beloved, we need to be able to stand in that position. We need to be able to stand in that position. The challenge this morning is, where are you? It's only what you have experienced that you can transfer. To make disciples is to reproduce the life of Jesus in people. Is to reproduce the virtues of the kingdom of God. It is to reproduce the mission of Jesus in people. Jesus Christ said, as the Father has sent me, John 20:21, so send I you. The same way, the same pattern, That is the pattern. We have listened to that and left it there and took on our own pattern in the church today. We are aware of that. We heard Jesus. We knew that he said it. Yet, we have left it there. And we are following our own pattern. I'd like to ask you to examine the structure of your leadership, of your ministry, in relation to that of Christ. I was in Ghana for a meeting. I was asked to speak on leading like Jesus. And such things, they just break me down. They help me to see how much of Jesus I am not. And how much of him I need to become who he wants me to be. The church is Christ's legacy on earth. Everything that God will do is through his church. And as leaders, as pastors, we need to broaden the focus of our ministry. Not just developing people for the internal ministry of the church, but also developing people for the external, the outside ministry of the church. We need a discipleship that prepares people to transform society. We need to do more than just raise religious disciples who know how to lead prayer meeting. But it's a failure as a Christian lawyer. He knows how to do ushers, to be an usher. But it's a failure as a Christian driver, as a driver. We need a discipleship, a robust discipleship that prepares people to transform society with the life and the values of the kingdom of God. Amen. You can jot down your questions against when we begin to entertain them. We need a discipleship package that prepares Christian policemen and women. When you hear the word police, just forget them. Because of what is generally known, isn't it? I was in the wharf sometimes to clear books that were donated for the Nigeria Fellowship of Evangelical Students. And I had problems because of demands, just unrighteous demands. What I was to clear, there were free things that we shouldn't pay duty on many years back. And alongside, I just heard that there is a pastor. It was like, God, you have helped me. So I went to look for that pastor. And I told him, do you know what? He said, what are the things? I said, I have Bibles. I told him everything. And he got me to give him a Bible. After he collected the Bible, the real help I needed to ensure that my goods were moved, he told me that I have to see those boys. Oh, that was pastor. See, that day, the way I went to him, it was like a savior has come. You need to be in the wharf to know what I'm talking about. You know, they've changed something. Then, they called one place long room. It was really long because the tables you must pass through, they are endless. But they said it was pastor, and I met him. And greeted him, introduced myself. But it ended in collecting a free Bible. And after that, there was no other. That's a failure of our discipleship. We have people who cannot stand for truth in places. What are we doing as a church? What kind of disciples are we raising? How are members of your church standing in society? Are they standing true to what we teach them? What Christ commands? Perhaps we are not better examples, maybe. I'm sorry if I sound hard, but beloved, we must get this right. And it begins with me. It begins with me. How must God help my life in order that my congregation will be helped? Paul said, whom we preach, warning every man, teaching every man in all wisdom. Colossians 1:28-29 said that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Hey, that is something I pray that God will help our leaders to actually understand the import of that. It's coming a presentation day. A presentation that will show the worth of your labor on lives. What we have labored for, may it stand the test of fire. The local church is God's primary instrument for the evangelization of the world. Missions is the essence of churchhood. The primary agent for making disciples of all nations is the local church. And it is only as the local church sees its reason for being as missions that it can truly be a biblical church. Local church has the largest pool of volunteer workers. Imagine if it was Venerable Ike that came to pick me at Entraco Park when I came. He was the one that went to arrange my accommodation and ensure that I have water, juice. You need to see the way they loaded my fridge. Malt, you know, banana, apple. Was the one going around to ensure that. But thanks be to God that within the house, God has people. Thank God for the chairman of the outreach board, Brodamian, Sister Nkiru Mbadiwe. She was wonderful. She was policing me point by point, getting information, going ahead to do things. Bro, God has been fantastic. And yesterday when our mommy Ruby here asked me, how am I? I said, your people you don't need to worry. Your people are doing your work. They are doing fantastic. They are doing well. She doesn't need to bother herself. She wants to know how comfortable I am. I said, if I'm more, I'm very comfortable. And that is the truth. Because, you know, the local church has the largest pool of volunteer workers ready to serve. And beloved, according to Pastor Rick Warren of the Purpose Driven Church, he said the greatest need in the 21st century
is to release the pent-up latent power of the average believer in the local church around the world. How do we release that power? There's great potential in the church. Yesterday, Brogo introduced, is it Chinedu, the head of the young people, introduced him to me, and I was so pleased to meet with him. And apparently it was Chinedu and our mom that went with me to the room. The mother was the one carrying the food for my dinner. And I thanked her, and I also thanked her for giving reason for the church, someone like Chinedu, that will be providing leadership for the young people. This huge potential in church that need to be harnessed. How do we turn a sitting audience into an army, an advancing army for Jesus? How do we turn spectators, people who are in church, as spectators, into participators, into contributors? Who are people in church who are barely just there to receive, consumers? How do we turn them into contributors? To contribute in our battle against the kingdom of darkness. How do we harness the latent power of the average believer in church for the advancement of the mission of God to make disciples of all nations? It's a huge pastoral challenge. And I hope that as pastors present here, you are thinking about that in relation to your congregation. Beloved, it is time to harness the full potential of your local church for the harvest of the nations. One of the ways in which that can happen is through training. NEMA, the Nigeria Evangelical Missions Association, serves the church in strengthening the involvement, the participation of the local church in the mission of God, in the fulfillment of the Great Commission. NEMA exists to increase the participation and fruitfulness of believers within the local church in the mission of God. We have training programs like the Global Engagement Training. The Global Engagement Training is a 2.5 to 3 days program. The theme is unleashing the power of the local church for world evangelization. You can have that training, and it has the potential to turn your congregation around. May I please remind us that the mission we are called to participate in, we can look at it in three broad headings. Number one is to raise the worshiping community within every people group. What is the mission that we are called to participate in as a local church? Number one, to raise a worshiping community within every people group, that God will be known, loved, and worshipped amongst all peoples. Psalm 86 verse 9 to 10. Won't be able to read it, but you can write that down. Revelation 7, 9 to 11. Psalm 67, 1 to 5. Isaiah 45, 2 to 3. They are all helpful references. See, the goal of mission, as I said yesterday, is global glory in worship.
God wants global glory in worship. It's about Him. It's about God. And it's about His glory. According to John Piper, in his book, Let the Nations Be Glad, he said, worship is ultimate, not missions. Because God is ultimate, not man. He said, when this age is over, and countless millions of redeemed fall on their face before the throne of God, mission will be no more, for it is a temporary necessity. But worship abides forever. The second broad goal to which the local church need to commit is to seek the lost, that the lost might be found. Beloved, man is lost. Jesus Christ said, the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. We lost a relationship with God. We lost a present, a future, and an eternal relationship with God on account of sin. We lost the life of God. We lost the glory of God. Man is lost. Isaiah 53:6 says, all we like sheep have gone astray. So we've turned every man his own way. But God laid on Jesus the iniquity of all of us. We must accept the reality, beloved, that neighbor of yours, if it's in your hostel, hello? Students, can I see our hands? Students, beautiful. If it's in your hostel, that neighbor of yours, and if it's in town where you live, if it's in your marketplace, if it's in your workplace, that neighbor of yours, in the city, in the local community, who have not repented and accepted God's offer of eternal life through Jesus Christ, faces eternal death. And he or she is in need of rescue. About 4 billion people of God, in our world today, face a hopeless eternity. About 4 billion people in our world today, beginning with those people in your hostel, those people in your workplaces, reaching to the ends of the earth, face a hopeless eternity. They face an eternity of doom. And God is not interested in the death of a sinner, but that the sinner might repent and be saved. We have a document in the mission circle. We call it Lost People's Alert. I told you yesterday about people groups. There are people groups that are in the Lost People's Alert. The Sanusi people group of Libya. They speak Libyan Arabic. About 620,000. There are no known believer among them. And no known agency or denomination targeting them. They are lost. They must be found. God must raise laborers from within the church who will be willing to pay the price to seek them out. You know what we do in church? We have changed the strategy from going out to sitting back in church and organizing breakthrough meetings. That is our strategy for the sinners to come to repentance. It's okay to have breakthrough meetings, beloved, but that should not be the strategy to reaching the lost. When something is lost, you go look for it. Amen? So we need to get outside the sanctuary to go look for the lost. We shouldn't wait within here and deck our and say, once since we have this kind of light, they're going to come. Just get this light and let it be shining. Amen? Since we have a band, see my brother there. He's ready to touch that piano now, and everybody will, every place will be booming. We need those things, okay, but that is not the strategy. The strategy is to go. Go ye. The Bible said the disciples went everywhere. Everywhere man was found, they went. And as they went, the Lord went with them. Hallelujah. Confirming the words they were speaking with signs and wonders following. You need to nurture a congregation that is on the go with Jesus. Don't just sit down there. Had developed a robust mission package that keeps your people on the go with Jesus in the world of the unsaved, the unreached. Amen. The thought brought gold. So I begin to round up because of time. Is that the least of these ones might find help from God? I'm going to read that other the passages here and make some remarks. Somebody to read James 1:27. Another person to read Psalm 82, 3-4. And a final person to read Matthew 25:35-40.
James 1 verse 27.
Yes.
Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Please listen to these passages. Your church must be structured to express itself in this area of our ministry. Actually, it is the combination of the Great Commission and the Great Commandment. That is the summary of what we should be pursuing. The Great Commission and the Great Commandment. Can I hear that in again, please? Religion
that our God, our Father, accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world.
Hallelujah. Psalm 82, 3-4. Who is reading that? Psalm 82, 3-4. Yes, sir. Defend the cause of the weak
and fatherless. Maintain the rights of the poor and oppressed.
Maintain the rights of the poor and the oppressed.
Rescue the weak and needy.
Wow.
Deliver
rescue
them.
Kill the weak and needy.
Deliver them from the hand of the wicked.
Wow. We have a society where injustice pervades. And the church must raise a voice in defense of the defenseless, the weak, the poor, the fatherless, the orphans. We are too silent as a church. It's an area of ministry to which we need to come alive. Do we have lawyers in this church at all? Any lawyer? Oh, we have judges. Oh, thank you, sir. Only one, ba? I can see one hand. Okay, maybe the rest are coming in the evening. You know, they can guide us to package. That is why we need to harness our work as pastors. Thank you for all of you that are here. It's good to have you. Is to harness the huge potential in each of our congregation. Even if your congregation is 10, don't belittle it. Fear not, little flock. We can get people like our brother there to lead such an advocacy group. And we need to budget for it. We need to see it as something that God approves. James said religion, excuse me please, that God approves is this, to care for widows and orphans. And Psalm 82 puts it so well. There is need to step up our care for the poor, the destitute, the orphans, the refugees. I serve the mission community. And a lot of our missionaries who are at the receiving end of the Boko Haram, several times my heart is broken over their experiences. I called one Reverend Oshia Jibuba in Maiduguri recently. That was the time that Boko Haram attacked Baga. That account that was in controversy, whether it was 2,000 people that were killed or not. You remember? About 7,000 people fled towards Chad. So I wanted to know, who are those who are pursuing them? Do we have a Christian group that is following them there? Because most times, those people are just there before the Red Cross, before the, apparently we share name with NEMA, National Emergency Relief. At times people confuse us with, when they say I'm from NEMA, they think it's the National Emergency. We manage spiritual emergencies. Eh? So I wanted to know, who are those who have pursued them to that place to provide support for thousands of those people? Old men and women, you know, young people, children. Oh, you need to just know that things are difficult for some of our countrymen. And as a church, we are obligated to be thinking. We shouldn't just sit in our comfort zones and just be saying we are praying for them. More than that, we need to be asking questions. What can we do? How can we help? What is their state? Are things changing? Most times you hardly get a call. I was in a place, somebody was asking me, I said, you heard that Jaws was bombed, twin bomb. You didn't even put up a call to us. I mean, what are you, what kind of friends are you? Beloved, the issue now is the church ministry. In Matthew 25, Jesus said, when I was hungry, you didn't give me food. When I was in the prison, you didn't come looking for me. When I was thirsty, you didn't give me water. Are there such people around us? Do we have a ministry towards them? Do you know what? NGOs, they have taken the place of the church. It is the ministry of the church. Whatever NGOs are doing, the church must lead the way in acts of mercy, in reaching out with the compassion of Jesus to people. I entered a house in Jos, and over 100 children that fled from Gaza were quartered in that house. I'm telling you, over 100. They are close to 200 now. Just a compound. The landlord of that place said he doesn't want his house to be used for something. Because actually they took over the place. Imagine people coming from Gaza. And imagine the life of these our brethren. The whole place was turned. In fact, they had to quickly move away the boys and then left the girls alone largely there because it was difficult to manage. There are issues, people of God, and the church cannot afford to be different. This is in line with our mission. I need to round up. My time is gone. Wow. Jesus. Somebody read 1 Corinthians 3:10-15 very quickly. I begin to close.
Okay. Verse 10. By the grace God has given me, I laid a foundation as an expert builder, and someone else is building on it. But each one should be careful how he builds. For no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. If any man builds on this foundation using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, his work will be shown for what it is, because the day will bring it to light. It will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each man's work. If what he has built survives, he will receive his reward. If it is burned up, he will suffer loss. He himself will be saved, but only as one escaping through the flames.
Beloved people of God, the foundation of the church is the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul said, no foundation can any man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. But on that foundation we build. And it is important to examine the quality of our building. The material with which we build. My advice to us this morning or afternoon is to build with gold. Say with me, build with gold. Can you say that again, please? Can you turn to somebody next to you, face him or her, and say, build with gold. Amen. Paul identifies two types of material. Gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, and stubble. And emphasize the need to build with high quality material in view of eternity. Please say with me, eternity. Every work we do will be tested by fire. The contribution of every member, those who are doing our piano, those who are cleaning the sanctuary, who are dusting, those who are ushers, those who are, doing different things, the contribution of every person will be to the life of the church will be evaluated by fire. And it is my prayer that your work will not be burnt. Amen. Which is why we need to build with gold, because that is what will last. Our services are weighed by the quality of our lives. A service can be so big as this board, but if the quality of life offering that service is zero, that big work amounts to zero. Those who do mathematics know that anything divided by zero, however big that thing is what? In fact, some real mathematics people will tell you it's not zero, it is infinity. That one, we don't understand it. It's at their level. Yes. How do you ensure that your life can sustain your service in the house of God?
What is your integrity? The quality of life and the quality of the workmanship is what is meant to build with gold. The quality of work, of life, and the quality of the workmanship. That is, what is the motivation for that beautiful song that I sang? When I came here and I handled the microphone and I sang so blissfully, angelically, what was my motivation? Was it the glory of God? Or was I just marketing myself? That is how that work will be measured. What is the motivation of what you are doing in the house of God? Is the glory of God at the heart of it? Is the honor of the name of God at the heart of it? What is your motivation in service, in praying, in singing? Is it to be seen by men? Is it to share the glory of God? It wouldn't matter how popular we are with men. God will prove the quality of our work to know whether it was done by the inspiration of His Holy Spirit working through our life, or it was done for our own reasons. We just put up a show. You know, it's possible to have a show parade, and that happens a lot in church. You need to guide against that. If you're involved in the building of the life of God's church, your services need to be impregnated with the power and the grace of God. Motivation must be solely that the name of Jesus Christ be glorified. Not eye service. Hello? Not what? You see, if that is the character of our Christian service, we shall receive a reward. And you know, reward is not as free as salvation. Reward is based on services that meet God's requirement. No, salvation is free. Saved by grace, not by works of righteousness, by His grace alone. It's nothing more that I can do. Jesus did it all. But reward is based on services that meet God's requirement. I encourage us, workers in the household of God, leaders, to seek to please God. Paul says, we make it our aim to please Him. So we make it our aim to please Him. God said concerning Jesus, He said, behold, my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Not in His activity, but in Him, is His life. I am well pleased. Our life matters. Hallelujah. And what we do flows out of who we are. What we do, the quality of our service is based on the quality and power of our inner man. You know, it's the quality and power of our inner man that influences the quality of our service. Build with gold is an admonition to us, to urge us to take with full seriousness both the certainty of eternal life in each of our lives and the scrutiny that God will bring to our service at the end of time. Paul In Acts 20, 17 to 20, Acts 20, as I close, I must close now. Wow. Just that and I close so that we can have questions. Acts 20, 17 to 20.
Acts 20, 17. From Miletus, Paul sent to Ephesus for the elders of the church. When they arrived, he said to them, "You know how I lived the whole time I was with you. From the first day I came into the province of Asia, I served the Lord with great humility."
Did you see that? May that be the character of our service. Amen?
Amen.
Go ahead.
"And with tears."
And with what?
Tears.
And with what?
Tears.
Go ahead.
"Although I was severely tested by the plots of the Jews."
Yes, sir.
"You know that I have not hesitated to preach anything that would be helpful to you, but have taught you publicly and from house to house."
Amen. I'm sorry, our time is gone. I'd like Venerable Ike to please come and moderate a brief interactive session to receive, if there are pertinent questions that we need to speak to, Venerable Ike would moderate that, and then after that we'll pray. Thank you. God bless you.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank God for the unction on our brother Mike Adebule speaking for the past 1 hour, 35 minutes. Great grace upon him. A leader, but a humble servant since the university days. He has been on impacted of God, speaking among nations, between, within, and outside. Just last month, I think November, he was with the Enugu Knots. In January, he was with the Dominion City around there. And God's servant to the church at this point in time that we need to make manifest. The Lord renew and refresh you in the name of Jesus. Do we have questions, clear questions, bothering you as a Christian, bothering you as a leader, bothering you with respect to letting the witness go? We'll take limited questions because we must leave here at 1:30. We started at 11 and we told you 1:30 we'll go so that you can prepare to be here 5. And you know we start right on the dot. Yesterday we started 5 and by 7:25 we are done. This evening, we'll have the privilege of hearing Bro Mike, as well as our brother, Dr. Mike Amadi, speaking on using where you are, using your profession, using your calling, using your studentship, and using wherever God has given you at the moment as a platform to be a witness, politician, judge, advocate, all as it so need. But is there any question bothering you that you must answer? Just can we see our hands so it will help us know how we put them together? 1, 2, 3. Okay, I think that suffices us. If any other thing is ministered to your heart, say it after we close at 1:30. Praise the Lord. Okay, please, in that order, Justice Francis. That's Obonna, Chukwuma Obonna, not the radio Obonna. Please, we'll take the questions together and then I can respond to them together. Any paper?
I want to thank God for our speaker. I must say that I'm encouraged and I've been so challenged. When our speaker was talking to us on mission.
Just a minute. Don't share any of those now. The announcement will come to the appropriate group that will get them. Just shortly. Thank you. Yes, ma'am.
On mission, he told us he was going to give us the three arms of mission. I got two.
Which are?
Which are to raise worshiping community within every people group. And
that's one.
To seek the lost glory.
Okay, to seek and to save the lost.
Yes.
To
seek the lost.
Yes.
To seek the lost.
Yes.
That's the two that I got.
Okay. Did you get Psalm 82 verses
yes.
3 and 4?
Yes, I got.
Did you also get
James 1:27?
Yes.
Yes, I did.
The
Matthew 25:34.
You got the three now. Okay. And what is the third one? No, you go be Kenna. What is the third one?
The least of these ones may be found by God.
That we will take care, advocacy, take care for the needy, the poor, the defenseless,
okay.
Welfare. And that's what that Matthew 25 summarized. I was sick, I was in hospital, I was in need, I was in prison. And that's Psalm 82 verses 3 and 4 expressly said, the widow, the defenseless, the needy, the weak, the church must take it on. And that's part of the mandate of God for the church to embrace all. I'm sure that's what we say, sir. Okay, so you've got the trainer. You more than got the passages. Thank God. I think she was taking notes as in a chamber.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Please, my question is this. In trying to make disciples, we find out that as you disciple people, you know, it don't seem as if what you are imparting in them is very reflected on them. The life they live doesn't encourage you because you will preach to them, try to follow them up the following day. Looks as if what you've done has not done anything in them. So please, one may be responsible for that kind of situation. Praise the Lord.
Okay. It looks as if water is washing up the back of the dock. And you wonder whether you've done anything at all. It may not only be only to our brother Mike. I'm sure our brother Dr. Mike can take that on. Oh, incidentally, Mike. Okay, Mike times two. But let's hear the third one so we know whether we can take them together. Chukwuma. Chukwuma is a church teacher at Amagunze.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
As a missionary, I heard Evangelist Mike said how to raise a sitting church to become a great army for the mission of making disciples of all nations. I want him to help me elaborate that much because that's the major problem we are having over there in the mission field. Thank you, sir.
How to move a sitting church to become a standing army for Christ. So, Brother Mike.
Hallelujah. Our brother that is asking that question, I know he may be asking from the perspective of a leader, impacting, but is not having enough of the result. Well, this evening, when I will be addressing the issue of raising priestly intercessors for discipleship, that will be answering major part of that. But Apostle Paul said, I travail and I groan till Christ is born in you. The place of traveling for the flock is very important to a pastor. That was the reason why Apostle Paul, the apostles, when there was distribution in the house and murmuring, they said, let us hand over this physical administration to few men and let's return back to the ministry of word and prayers. So that we'll engage both in the kingly side of the word and also in our priesthood to transform the people and to give birth to what we are impacting in them. So the place of traveling for them to bring birth to the life and to transfer and to impart that very life in traveling is very, very important. The life of a pastor. God bless you.
Thank you. We'll take on prayer now and then a few announcements and we close. Lord, I want to be like Jesus in my heart. In my heart,
Lord, I want to be like Jesus in my life.
In my life,
in my life,
in my life,
in my life, Lord, I want. In my life,
in my heart,
in my life,
in my heart,
in my life, Lord, I want to be like Jesus in my life.
I'd like us to just bow before the Lord. What has God said to you? What did you hear? If at all you add anything. I want you to first and foremost just try to tell yourself over this 1 hour and a half thereabout, have you heard something? Is there something that seems to be a word of the Lord to you? Seems to have come as, you know, the Bible says this is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel. What has been the word of the Lord to you? If any, I'd like you to hold that and talk to God about it. What has God said to you? In the mandate to make disciples, I need to discipline myself. I need to be a disciple. I need to embrace the call and be a growing disciple myself. I need to get into a life of abandoned devotion to Jesus. I'd like you to just pray for yourself. Pray for yourself. Pray for yourself. I want you to just tell God, I will live for Jesus day after day. The Holy Spirit, I will obey. I will live for Jesus. This effort will not be in vain over my life and over my calling. Not in vain. I have a work to do. 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 My life shall not fail.
I have a work to do.
I'd like us to please, if you can lift our hands up. I want us to just raise our hands up to heaven. I want to pray in closing. Jehovah, we exalt your holy name. Thank you for this afternoon. Thank you for your voice, for your words to us. Opening wide a door for us
to participate with you in the making of disciples in the nations. Thank you for the challenge that has come to us about our personal lives and how that we need to position ourselves, Jehovah God, within your grace, in order that we might be effective in making disciples of all nations. I pray for your servants here present today, Jehovah God. Ask Father God Almighty, as they individually resolve, Father God, to reposition themselves in the place of your grace, as they individually resolve to reposition themselves, Jehovah God, before your throne of grace and mercy, I ask that your grace will locate them. I pray, Jehovah God, that the respective help that individual lives need in this hall this afternoon, that help will come forth. I pray, Father God Almighty, that your spirit will engage the hearts of your people. Will engage each of the hearts of your people to help them, Father God, to process these issues, to think through them, to give themselves wholly unto them, so that their profiting may appear unto all. I ask for this work of the Spirit of God, the hearts of your servants here standing or sitting. I pray, mighty Father, that in your mercy, you will look down upon us here this afternoon and help our infirmities and strengthen us to do your will. Jehovah God, give us true repentance in areas where we have fallen. Give us a broken heart, for a broken and a contrite heart you will not despise. Father Almighty, I pray that your grace will be the portion of each and every one of us, to help our onward journey from this point onward in the fulfillment of your divine mandate. Help that our life will not fail in this divine assignment, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father.
Oh, yabza, moka teki di zaba ya. Imadza karibiozla. It is good that those to whom I have handed the flock are gathered here today. It is good that you are here to hear what you need to succeed as one whom I have called as a shepherd of the flock, I have handed you the flock, but what are you doing with my flock? What are you doing with the flock I gave to you, with those I have handed to you? What are you doing with it? With that flock I gave you, You have heard today that for you to be able to make that disciple, for you to make disciples of the nations. Now, I speak to you, shepherd. You, shepherd, I speak to you. Particularly you, I am speaking to you. You have heard that you have desired for disciples, that your church be multiplied, that the people will increase. But you yourself, have you been my disciple? You have heard a little today that for you to be a maker of disciples, you need to have become my disciple. It is true, you have moved from strength to strength. But as you are moving from strength to strength, you have no longer been staying with me. You have not been coming so close. You have not had time for me. And how can I tell you the things I want you to do when you didn't have time for me? For you, you had. That time I called them, they were fishing, making fish, bringing fish. And I called them to come and become fishers of men. I first called them to come and stay with me. They did not go immediately and start fishing. They stayed with me. And I taught them how to be fishers of men. They followed me. They watched me. And they saw how men were being fished. They spent time in my presence. They spent time. They even asked me questions in those things that they did not understand. And I tried to put them through. But I look for you, and I don't see you. I don't even see you to tell you what to do with the flock. You are walking in the old anointing. That thing you learned so long ago, you have even forgotten a lot of them. Because of the things people do, you are trying to do the things you see other people do. The thing that the world have approved. But you have not come so close so that I will tell you the strategy that I need you to apply so that people will see you as my disciple.
Amen.
And they will follow you. They will follow you. Because when you are my disciple, like I told you during the teaching, that first of all, they sat with me. And then I taught them the way. And when I sent them out, you know,
amen.
It happened.
Amen.
They were following. The crowd came. Come and be with me as a shepherd. And I will teach you the strategy for this time.
Amen.
That is right for the time. This is amen. What the Spirit.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Father. We go forth in your might. We go forth under the instruction of your words. We go forth to do your bidding. In Jesus' name. And the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, be with us now and evermore.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.